Okay, so today is the 9th of November 2018. It is Aleph of the month of Kislev, Tav Shinayin Tes, Rosh Chodesh, and a couple things to say in the beginning of Parshas Balos. So the right off the bat is the famous Rashi that we quoted the other day. Lama Nisvacha Parshas HaMenorah LaParshas HaNesiim. Why do we have them connected? Because Shalfi Kashakasharah Aaron Chanukah HaNesiim Chal Sha'az Daito, he like got weak, he was upset, Shalo Yaimayim LaChanukah, that he was not able to celebrate with them. Lo Hu V'lo Shifto, neither here nor a Shevet. So Hashem said, don't worry, you have a greater portion, because you're going to be able to light the menorahs. So that is Rashi. The Ramban quotes Rashi, and then he says, come on, right? Meloni Sparali, this is unclear to me. Why would he get any type of nechama? Well, how's that supposed to work? Why is there any consolation to Aaron with the candles? Velo nachmu b'ketores, and not by the b'ketores, or boker v'arev, meaning he's going to bring the ketores morning and night. So that should also be considered his shevach, and that in fact is yasimu ketora b'yapecha, is the bracha that's given to Shevet Levi later on. So that's the symbol of Shevet Levi, perhaps more than the candles. In fact, that would be a counter, that actually would fit with the thing the Nesiim did. The Nesiim brought ketores, so Aaron feels bad. Don't worry, you'll bring the ketores every day, morning and evening, right? That would actually match up. And also other korbanos that he brings, the minchas chavitin that he brings, and the avodas yom kippurim that he does, sheni k'sheir al bo, that only he could do. Minchas lifnei v'lachim, he gets to go to the kodesh hakodashim, v'shukod Hashem omi b'yichalo, v'shar sulu v'arech b'shmo. And he gets to stand in the Heichal and give a bracha in Hashem's name. Shifto kula misharas Elokeinu, and the entire Shevet is a servant of Hashem. So what? Why is this? Va'od also matam l'chalishas hadas, says it. Why is he so upset? Right? He also brought karbanos every one of those days. Aaron did. V'tamrin, if you say shayu chova v'nitzava, and you say, yeah, well, come on, that he was obligated to do, and perhaps he was cholish, he was upset because he didn't have the option of bringing a optional korban. I mean, I want to be able to demonstrate my love in an optional way. Well, they did. No, they were included in those. Yeah, but those were korbanos. The assumption is that they were korbanos. I believe even that they shechted, maybe even offered them. I don't remember. I thought I saw something alluding to that. That they might have even offered them. I'm not sure about that. But certainly those were korbanos that were actually brought. And then he adds and if you say, well, come on, you know, that he was commanded and he wants the option of bringing something voluntarily, well, the lighting of the candles is also something that was a chov, is an obligation. He says, aval, so Raman says, aval, inyan hagadah, zu lidrosh remez vina parsha al chanukah shel neros, shahisim vayis sheinah de aron uvana, retoni lomar chashmoni kohen gadol uvana. He says, yeah, rather, it sounds like this is what he's saying is the pshat, this is an allusion to the Chanukah story. Shel neros shahisim, that exists in the second half of Migdash, which was done by Aaron and his kids, retoni lomar chashmonai, meaning the chashmonayim, the kohen gadol, and their sons. I mean, that's what's being alluded to, that he was upset, what's going to be, to which the Greeks came in and destroyed, and therefore Hashem said, don't worry, you're going to come back and be able to light the menorah yourself once again. Okay? That's the... Yeah?
The dedication of the Mishkan.
Yeah. So don't worry, you'll also have a Chanukah. You'll also have a dedication of a Beis HaMikdash that you'll do. Not you personally.
Generations from now, your children.
Yes. Don't worry, you'll have to wait about, you know, a millennium or so.
Okay.
Yeah. So Veloshna Zematsasi Megillah Starm Larbain and Easter Shehiskar Gadzuvi Amar Isi Bemirish Kevisha Shehikrivu Shnema Sar Shvatim Vohikriv Shevet Levi. Now, he also saw in the Medrash that the 12 tribes brought and Levi didn't. So Hashem said to Moshe, speak to Aaron and tell him, Ish Chanukah Acheres, that there's another Chanukah which is going to have the lighting of the Neros, and Vani Osa Bali Yisrael Al Yidei Banecha, and Nisech Shual, V'Chanukah Kshru Al Shemam, V'Chanukah Beis HaChashmonai. There's going to be another Chanukah in the future. So that is the Ramban's approach. He says, no, this is just simply a remez to the celebration of Chanukah that one day is going to take place. Keep in mind, Chanukah is really the main post-Talmudic holiday, which we celebrate the Bismarck set, right? Purim isn't, sorry, post-biblical holiday, right? Hanukkah is out of Tanakh, while Purim is still in. So this is the hint, a major, we seem to have more of an attempt to find sources for Hanukkah in the Torah than we do really for Purim. I think there's a few other, bunch of famous ones, famous hints to Hanukkah that appear in the Torah. Or there's a mitzvah of in Parshas Emor between comes after Sukkot. I think after Sukkot comes some mention of Hanukkah as well in Parshas Emor. So a couple of hints that are out there. This is probably the most primary one because of this Ramban.
Tisha B'Av
what? Well, Tisha B'Av is, I mean,
came during after, well, the Egel. Not after the
Egel. Yeah, but it's mentioned in Tanakh.
After the spies. Tisha B'Av.
Yeah.
You're crying.
Okay, but okay. I mean, that's we can figure out that took place on Tisha B'Av, but yeah, that anyways is biblical.
One thing, it's strange that the menorah and the temple with seven branches, our Hanukkah menorah is eight.
Correct.
That's
a good reason for that. What?
There's no shamish.
There is no shamish. Well, we really have nine without including the shamish. But there is a prohibition in emulating the kelim of the Beis Hamikdash. So for that reason, menorah
so
can't be.
We have five. Nothing.
You have five.
Menorah in front of the.
Oh, yeah. I guess. Okay. So. Then he adds in as well that the Karbanos, so long as Beis Hamikdash existed, they would do. But the Neiros Li'olam El Mul Pnei Hamnoria Iru Chol HaBrach was done in front of the menorah. I'm not sure what he's referring to there. And Brach was, let's skip that paragraph. Okay, what else? And then he has Rabbi, the Ibn Ezra, he quotes saying that no, these parshiyos are connected in that L'diachak Yadibor Yeh Gam B'layla, that Kisham Yehaner Dalek V'lo Yichaveh, that also you're going to have avodah to do at night, which is above them. The Neiros took place over, even though the lion was during the day, they were lit over the course of night. And then he concludes by saying here, Aval Hasidra Parshas Eluhu. So what is the order here? Kiva Kasub Sefer Zeh L'Hashem Toras Karbanos, that the beginning, and he writes this in the introduction, the beginning of Bamidbar is to finish up the laws of the Karbanos that I mentioned, Vayikra. And he also says in the beginning, when this is first given, that you're commanded, and you're going to take this olive oil, this pure olive oil, in order to bring the tamid, and bring a candle regularly. But it doesn't say anything about a menorah. But Yabamash, I would have thought, Rabban says, maybe if I would have just, when the original command of lighting the menorah was mentioned, it doesn't actually say menorah, it just says light the candles. So he says, well, when there is a menorah that Hashem commanded Moshe to build, so then you light on the menorah. Let's say there's no menorah. Fine, so light other candles. So comes this parsha to say, no. The idea of lighting it in a menorah is ma'akiv, and it's necessary to make sure you have a menorah, and there's a description in the Gemara about what happened when the Chashmonaim came in. They didn't have a full menorah, they had to start from scratch, they built a wooden one, and then a metal one, and they built up until that once again they were able to have a gold menorah. So therefore here where they're finishing up the story of building the Mishkan, they add in a couple more halachos. It mentions by the menorah you're going to put up the candles and it's going to light everything up. Right, and doesn't say here, but Oel Moed, why? Ramban concludes by saying, because it's also a halacha in the Beis Hamikdash. So, besides the reference to Hanukkah, the pshat, without the reference to Hanukkah, is that we have to finish up the story, says the Ramban, finish up the mitzvahs, tell you that lighting candles is ma'akiv, is necessary, not just to light candles, but to light them on the menorah, and not just in the Mishkan, but also in the Beis Hamikdash as well. Okay? Fine. Next, the Sforno adds in El Mul Pnei Hamnor. You're going to light the candles. What's that? So we mentioned this the other day. Shehu Hakana Hemtzai is referring to the middle branch. That when you bend in the other ones of the candles, they have to be bent in towards the middle, and that's how you're going to light the seven candles. And all these seven candles will light up and will exude light to Israel. And the outer ones are going to point towards the inside, which is the main part of the menorah, that middle one. Why? That the right represents involvement in chai olam, in spiritual things, everlasting things, and the left side are involved with chai isha, and they help the right side. Ka'amram, as the pasuk, chai isha meaning ideas for now, things that don't last forever. Ka'amram, as the Gemara tells us in Maseches Chulin, il male aliyah lumiskai me iskalia. If not for the leaves, there wouldn't be any grapes. Got that?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure. Well, what
leaves,
do you?
They make food, photosynthesis, so the plant can survive, and the plant survives, you get grapes.
Right, so something that doesn't seem important, but it really is necessary for the important thing.
It's
I guess that's
the,
what it is.
The ichor is the fruit, but.
Right, so chai isha is necessary for the chai olam. I think that's what he's driving at. Yeah. So tiyel hafik ritzona el yisbarach ba'ofen sheyusag b'chavana bein kul v'yirom with shmo yachdav kama shekibu aleim kasher ahid v'amru v'yinu cholam yachdav. Okay, that everything has to work together. Kolomar bein kulanu nashlim kavana, so that between it all we'll complete the kavana. So that is the theme of everything leading towards the middle, that it all works together and synchronized together to do what Hashem wants us to. So that's a major theme. Right, the Birchas Kohen was also the theme was synchronization and Chai Isha and Chai Olam working together. There is here a famous Rashi. Break the rule a little bit in order to give a nice shot in Rashi. Rashi says, "Vayas Kein Aaron." That's the Pasuk Gimel, right? Pasuk Gimel says, "Vayas Kein Aaron." Aaron did this. Says Rashi, "Lahagid Shilcho Shel Aaron Shaloshina," to give praise towards Aaron that he didn't change anything. So in the book, what's bothering Rashi? He asks, "Well, what's bothering Rashi? Why did Rashi feel compelled to mention this line here?" So he explains, "Well, there's an extra word. What's the extra word? Right? That Vayas Kein Aaron. That not Vayas, not just Vayas Aaron. Vayas Kein Aaron. Now he did this. What is the Kein? That he did exactly as Hashem said. Okay. Well." Why is that praiseworthy? That he did exactly as Hashem said, right? That he's Aaron. That's what he's paid to do. So the couple of answers that are given out. One is that he held it to himself. In fact, I think the Ramban mentioned this, that he did it himself. That Aaron, then technically it does not have to be the Kohen Gadol lighting the menorah, but Aaron kept the mitzvah for himself. Now, the Ramban seems to be saying it as a praise of Aaron. Okay, in case that it's not a praise of Aaron. That's what he did it himself. He didn't say, "Oh, I'm the Kohen Gadol, I don't have to worry about that." The other possibility that is normally said is that he did this always with the same enthusiasm as he did on day one. So he says here in the What's Bothering Rashi book, he says, yeah, but it's not enough to give an explanation. You have to look for the explanation. So, that fits in, but what is really the pshat? He says, what is a revelation is that Torah did make a point of mentioning his obedience. The explicit mentioning of Aaron's positive behavior, even though his behavior wasn't unusual, is precisely the lesson that Rashi is telling us. So when we started off by saying, come on, what does the Torah have to tell us that he did exactly as Hashem said? No, the Torah tells us that he did exactly as Hashem said, because that itself is praiseworthy. Now, there might be additional things to learn out from that, but he suggests the Rashi expert here, Rabbi Banchik, the Pshat and Rashi, is simply saying that, yeah, that Aaron gets praise for doing as Hashem said. That is itself considered praiseworthy activity. Okay, so that is the issue with regards to the lighting of the menorah. Then the second the second, third, and fourth quarter of the parak all have to do with the supplanting of the Bechorim, exchanging the Bechorim for the Levim, and putting the Levim in charge. So the Ramban takes you through this transition in Pasuk Hay. It says, Achar shenimnu ha-Bechoros va-Levim, after we talked about the Bechoros and the Levim, v'nitzdavu ha-Levim ba-Avodah, some in the Levim were commanding the Avodah, v'mishmartha v'nosan lehem ha-Galos, and watching it, and setting up the carriage, the wagons. Hishlim mitzvahs ha-Kohanim b'menorah, we conclude the mitzvah of the Kohanim with the menorah, and now we command that the Levim have to begin to work. In order to do that, they had to gain their tara. They had to gain their purity. Now, I didn't really see a pshat that I was comfortable with in terms of why they had to go through the purity of the razor, the shaving of the head. They became new people. Where exactly does that come from? I'm not sure. What? Yeah, shave everything, right? That's what it seems. So. Yeah, but there is this idea of the pidyon, right? Kili. So in Pasuk Yitzayin, the Sferno makes a comment. The Pasuk says, Kili cho b'chor b'vnei Yisrael b'adam v'ayimah b'yom ha'kosi is b'chor b'yashu. Shari mikdashi assembly. That the day that I killed the eldest in Egypt, I sanctified them for me. So what is that? Wow. That whole exchange there, we see that many times. This exchange of, oh, well, Hashem took care of the b'chorim, so therefore something having to do with the Jewish firstborns. So, like, what is that? What's going on? What is the response of, oh, we were firstborns were saved, so therefore there's some special halacha with regards to the firstborns? So the Sforno here says, "Aval ma shehitzarchti osam lefidyon, hay hatam Yisrael sheyom hikosi hishkad hashemli." The reason why there needs to be a pidyon, right? We're doing a pidyon on the eldest children, eldest sons, and removing the Kedusha from them and imposing them upon the Levim. So where did that Kedusha come from in the first place? Why did the Bechorim have that Kedusha in the first place? He says, because on the day that I did Makas Bechoros to the Egyptians, they were Makdish to me. Why? Shol yis asku b'avodas hed yurkad. They wouldn't involve themselves in avodas hed yot, in non- sanctified work. Just as I prohibited the Giza and the Avoda with the Bechorim before they had a pidyon, with the Bechor, with the eldest animals, right? That they can't, we don't shear them or work them. So why did I do this? I did this b'toras hektish mishlachas malchei harayim. He says, I was makdish them at that point so that they would be able to be saved from the angels that were causing death that night in Egypt. Got it? That they weren't kaddish in their own right. So Hashem said, they didn't really deserve to be saved. This is a common theme. I think we spoke about this Shabbos HaGadol this past year. They weren't deserving of being saved. In order for them to be saved, Hashem had to impose special kedusha, special sanctity upon them, so that they would be saved. So therefore there's a pidyon haben to permit them to do non-sanctified things. So the kedusha was put on them, imposed upon them in order to save them. And then in order for them to kind of go back down, there needs to be a pidyon, there needs to be a redemption that takes place, which we do today in the form of the pidyon event. Yeah?
It seems a little strange. I mean, Hashem saved them from these angels that Hashem created.
Yeah.
Wouldn't there be another way?
Why didn't Hashem just program them? Yes. Adjust the algorithm accordingly. I think there is an idea. This also was in that shir.
Right.
The Aruch HaShulchan discusses, was that line, Hashem says, I went myself without a malach. So why did Hashem have to do this? There's the significance there. So the Aruch
HaShulchan...
What?
They were let loose?
Yes. So the Aruch HaShulchan there says, is that in order to distinguish between, an angel goes free, a lot, havoc could happen, and it could be that they don't necessarily get the right people all the time. So Hashem says, in houses that were mixed, but apparently there were Egyptians that put their kids with the Jews, in houses that were mixed, Hashem had to say, I'll go in myself and I'll make sure that the right people are killed. But that is a concept, that when things are happening, there's a lot of havoc, the tzaddikim could go down with the Rishayim. I think that's actually the idea of tzitzis. I think the Gemara comments on that with regards to tzitzis. That why do I think one of the Amoraim were saying it was chastising the other one for not wearing tzitzis. Versus what? It's a mitzvah sase, so I don't do it. Like, what do I lose out on? No, at a time of anger, the tzitzis will protect you. That's why you should wear it, even if you don't necessarily. We wear them, even though we don't necessarily wear four cornered garments. A, it's a mitzvah, and B, there is protection that comes along with it, an enhanced sort of protection. Okay, one more thought on this. So yes, okay. So one more sforno at the very end, towards the end, pasuk chaf dalet, where it says Hashem finally says Zos Asher Lavi Ben Chamisha Shishanel V'Mal from 25 and up. So sforno and other mafreshim as well, but the sforno jumps in and says, "Whoa, wait a second! Didn't Levim only start working at the age of 30? Where's this 25 coming from?" So says the Rashbam. Mitzvah Chadasha Shadaim Lo Nemra. This is a new mitzvah which he hadn't yet said. This idea of the Levium, that what we're being taught here, even though we already had talked about the Levium in Parshas Naso, this is different. Why? In Bamidbar. Shem Parshas, Bamidbar Sinai, Parshas Naso, Sivakash Baruch Lim Nosam Yiben Shloshim Shana Ad Ben Chamishim Shana. That they are told to be counted from 30 to 50. La Vod Ulamasa, La Seisa Mishkan, to do work and to carry the Mishkan. Va'ata haparsha zu balafarish mitzvahs avodas mishmaris mishkan asher chamish shanim lifnei ashloshim shana she'enu roi lamasa yiroi mitzuv lishmiris mishkan mekelev. That, but there is a job. You don't have to wait till you're 30. You have to wait till you're 30 to carry the mishkan. But from the time of 25 and on, there's already work to do in the base of mikdash or in the mishkan in the form of shmira, in the terms of making sure everything runs orderly and make sure everybody's in the right place. Miben chamishim shana uvamal also she'enu roi lavodas masa also from 50 and onwards. You might not be fit for carrying, but there's certainly shmiru which you could still do. As we see, right, we mentioned Shri V'chamish Shanav, Umayli Yavol Tzavah B'Avodah Sol Mu'ed, Melech Shmira, from Shafar Shalfanenu, and it doesn't give an end date. And from 50 years and onwards, you leave the army, right, you're not necessarily going to carry stuff, but there still is plenty of Avodah, there still is plenty of things that one can do in the Mishkan. So while perhaps carrying stuff on your shoulders maybe is not the most fitting thing for somebody who's a little bit older, there's always room, there's always things for them to do, and there's always room for serving Hashem for anybody at any age.
Perkei Avos, I think, where it says different ages of people, you know, different, at 10 you learn the Mishnah,
yes.
At 30 is, I think, peak strength.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I think we mentioned this also with regard to this context also, that they start carrying plus 30 is peak strength. Yeah. Yeah. All right. I'll stop here. I think we're supposed to stop like a little earlier on these short Fridays, right? And I have to stop a little earlier on these short Fridays. So, all right. Have a good Shabbos. I'll pick up next week. We've got a lot of topic from this.